18th, 2014. I am Steve Gerwick of Gerwick.net, www.gerwick.net. And I'm joined on this latest edition of the Gerwick Report podcast with my longtime tag team partner, Frank D. What's up?
What's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing?
Doing real good. And today we got a guest on our line, friend of the website and myself for a number of years now, and he contributes various reports. Some from time to time you see his TV reviews. You may have saw his video game review yesterday. I want to welcome Fred Ricciani of the Sports Courier to the Gerwick Report. How are you doing today, Fred?
Hey, guys. I'm doing quite well, besides the fact that the current state of pro wrestling in North America kind of sucks. I mean, there's Lucha Underground. There's actually been some good matches on free TV. I will say this. I was very happy to finally get around to watching Dolph Ziggler versus Cesaro versus Tyson Kidd for the IC title. Thought it was a great match. One of the best TV matches of the year, if not the best TV match of the year. Only to see Dolph a few days later get absolutely destroyed by Luke Harper. But hey, as Jay-Z once said, politics as usual.
I would say, Fred, as we summarize what's going on currently with WWE, the creative process in the whip, as Frank would say, is really lacking right now. There's no real direction with Cesaro, Dolph Ziggler. There's so many characters they have on television that are not over. You know, what is going on with WWE? Do you ever really foresee anything really changing with this process right now? Because the process is definitely broke. The creative process is off kilter. Do you ever really see this really changing in WWE?
I think over time, I mean, it's going to take a lot for that to happen. I think on one hand, you got to see what happens with Triple H, because clearly Kevin Dunn is on autopilot these days in the sense that he hasn't changed anything. Raw looks exactly the same as it has for years. SmackDown looks exactly the same as it has for years. And they just haven't protected titles for so long. I mean, it's been going on for so long. I remember you and I were talking about this, what, 3-4 years ago when they first started beating the champions over and over again. Now it's to the point where I'm not saying the damage is irreparable, because you do have a guy like Rusev as U.S. champion, and all it takes is one reign to turn things around. But it's going to take a while. And I think at this point, they're kind of stuck in the same way UFC is. They're not necessarily stuck, but they're stuck in the mindset. It's like, okay, this is just what we do. It's like, hey, UFC, why don't you put an entrance ramp for your Mexico show? I don't know, that's just what we do. How about you mic the crowd? You're in Mexico for the first time. No, that's just what we do. How about you show some more scenic shots of Mexico? Maybe you'll make the cage a different color. Maybe do something to tell us, like, hey, you're in Mexico. No, that's just what we do. Maybe you should limit the number of fights. No, that's okay. Let's just keep just having fight after fight after fight. And I look at WWE, and it's very similar in a sense that, you know, especially after the budget cuts. Okay, I'm not saying you have to spend an extravagant amount of money on these, like, pay-per-view sets, but they all look the same right now. You can't take one of those old, like, over-the-edge 98 sets or something, put some cars there, make just, like, the show seem different at all. You have a bunch of guys on your roster. I realize their roster in terms of relevance is quite thin, but you have a roster of guys, including NXT guys, who can actually work a match. You can't throw in a few squash matches here and there, keep some of these feuds fresh. How the hell, in a matter of 3 weeks, have we burned through this Rusev-Sheamus feud, which has actually put together some pretty good matches? Why did Luke Harper already beat Dolph Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship? There's just so much going on that's wrong, and I think it just all adds up. And I know people are saying, oh, why is the crowd dead? Why is the crowd dead? Because the show sucks. And sometimes you want to buy a ticket to a live show because you are a fan. Maybe you're a last fan and just want to see him, kind of like the circus is in town. Maybe you're a hardcore fan and want to give him a chance. But if the TV sucks leading into it, and within the first hour or two of Raw, you see a bunch of garbage. You know, if it's not garbage, I'm saying, okay, some superstars matches that don't mean much, and then a long, boring promo by the Authority. You know, by the 9 o'clock hour, what? You've been there for 2 hours, maybe three, depending on what time you got to the arena. So I don't necessarily blame the fans for being, quote-unquote, dead. Especially the ones in the UK, 15 minutes before they were supposed to get the network, WWE pulls the plug. It just messed up, man. And I think one big issue that they've had, at least at the top, because normally there's at least decent booking at the top of the card, is the fact that it's the whole have-nots. There's only few people that can actually be a top guy. Just like the stupid storyline over the last year of the face of WWE. Let's tell everybody wrestling is fake. Only certain people can be champion. Well, that's what I want to hear when I'm watching the show, right? That's how I'm going to suspend my disbelief. And I feel like the lack of protecting other guys besides John Cena, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, to a lesser extent Ryback in recent weeks, I think that really hurts them. Wouldn't you want guys that you kind of just slide in there? I'm not saying everybody has to be world champion, but Steve, you remember this, and Craig, you remember this too. I mean, look at Hulk Hogan at his peak. Yeah, the guy ran through everybody, but at the end of the day, how often was he short on challengers? I mean, that guy always had a new challenge. Steve Austin, same thing. Guy almost always had a new challenge. You know, Bret Hart, especially in 1997, didn't he wrestle the Patriot on one pay-per-view main event? It wasn't a long-term thing, but it was nice to cycle new guys into the mix. You know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, before he became a full-time main eventer as well, with the Cold Day and Hell match of The Undertaker. You know, think about how over Dolph would be if they had protected him all this time. Okay, you don't want to make him a world champion long-term? That's fine. But at least protect him so in case you need a challenger, maybe you need a short-term champion, you have a guy that's strong. But the worst case of the start and stop push for me, besides Ziggler, is poor Cesaro.
Oh, yeah.
That guy. Spoiler alert, he got squashed in 3 minutes by Eric Rowan on SmackDown.
Wow.
Which also, and here's the thing, it's a lack of continuity, all right? Cesaro faced Ryback on Raw, correct? Ryback had a hard time with Cesaro on Raw. Get the guy with the jumpsuit and the butt sweat who stalks Renee Young and steals cats, destroy Cesaro in 3 minutes? That also buries Ryback, if you ask me. And it's just one of many, many issues. I guess to simplify it for your listeners, there's a lack of continuity among storylines. There's a lack of relevant guys, and they just feel the need to make only certain guys relevant. There's the start and stop pushes where they change their mind on one guy. They get hot on him, they get cold on him, they get hot on him, and they get cold on him. And it just drives me nuts. Imagine The Walking Dead. And I know Walking Dead got some criticism when they changed showrunners and everything. And I don't know if you guys really watch The Walking Dead or maybe Breaking Bad or something like that. But imagine if, like, you know, you're watching Breaking Bad and Walter White's the top guy, you know, of the show. And then the writers get bored of him in the middle of season two. And he's marginalized for like three seasons. And all of a sudden, he's propped back up in season five. Or same thing with Jesse Pinkman. And then they prop up Gus Fring or something. It makes no sense. If the show in general is lacking continuity, it's lacking logic. There's a lot of guys lacking just fundamentals in terms of storytelling, mainly the writers. I mean, to have Ryback in a long match like that, I mean, people like Ryback because he's like Goldberg. You know what I mean? You want to see a squash. They don't want to see him in a long match. If you're going to put him in a long match, they could possibly expose him. Leave him for pay-per-view. And I'll say the same thing about Roman Reigns as well. And I hope Roman Reigns, when he comes back, he doesn't get Bautista'd. Even though I'd rather see Dean Ambrose in that top spot, Roman Reigns is a guy I like very much. I think he's got a great look. I think he has a lot of potential. But if they give him this awful scripted dialogue again, like he had in that satellite interview a couple months ago, my goodness. I'm not going to say that guy's going to be dead in the water, but if he gets Bautista'd, I'm not going to be surprised. And I guess to sum up this rant, I think Vince, I'm not going to say he's Al Davis, for anybody that gets a sports reference. But he's a guy that's kind of like, you know, I'd maybe say he's kind of like Lakers management right now. You know, they had some championship years as recently as 2010. Now with the network and everything else, it's just, yeah, it's not good. Not going well. I mean, I interviewed Kevin Marshall, former WWE writer, about the whole creative process. He essentially told me everybody writes for Vince and nothing's going to change unless Vince steps down and, you know, eventually Triple H will make things better. I don't know if Triple H will make things better. Triple H might be just as close-minded as Vince McMahon. You guys got to keep in mind that Triple H apparently didn't know who Ronda Rousey was or what the big deal was about her when she came to L.A. for SummerSlam a few months back. The fact that he's so insulated himself in a sense that he doesn't even pay attention to what UFC is doing, not saying you have to watch all the 50 million fights they book now, but at least he's not paying attention to what they're doing, that's a troubling sign. But I do think Triple H could bring some new ideas to the table. He could bring a new perspective. He's younger, so he could bring a younger perspective to the table. Just because he signed guys like Sami Zayn and Prince Devitt, Does it make me think he's going to push those guys straight to the top just because of the fact that he allegedly feels that Daniel Bryan is actually a B-plus player? And if you still feel that in 2014 going into 2015, I think you got to get your head examined. So, look, at the end of the day, maybe Triple H will still want to push his big guys. But maybe, just maybe, if Triple H does get into power in the next year or so, and I don't know if he'll fully get into power, at the very least, maybe we'll see some more logical booking, which I guess, due to lowered standards in 2014, going into the year, that's all we can ask for.
Well, you know what? I'm going to have to agree with you on most of your points there, because actually on our GRP Facebook page, we were talking the other day about, what's wrong with the crowd at Raw, and one of the things that I brought up was is that every show, because I went to Raw a few months ago here in L.A., when they were out here at Staples, every single show opens up cold now. And it's been like that for, I think, the last, year and a half, where every show opens cold, it's just a crowd shot, and then, boom, Triple H's King of Kings music hit. And I'm thinking, like, God, are we back in 2000? So his music hits, and he comes out, and, there is no more pyro to get the people hyped and keep them awake during the show. They don't have that. They don't have any really standout stars like it was in the Attitude Era or in the late 80s. They don't have any characters like Randy Savage or the Ultimate Warrior or Vader or Sting or anybody. They have.
Because they also don't let those guys be themselves either. Think about it, if those guys came up now, they wouldn't be able to be themselves.
No, and that's a big problem there. And then when you were talking there about the sets and everything, about how every pay-per-view, listen. You're right. Nothing has changed as far as the whole outlook of Raw. It's been the same since 97 when they changed over to Raw's War. You went from three little, in my opinion, cardboard letters, and then to compete with Nitro, you came with this big old stage, and it was cool. But you haven't changed anything. It hasn't evolved. And they have this set they have now, and I guess, they can make it anything they want, but it's the same stale look. You have the same look for Raw. You have the same look for SmackDown. You have the same look for the pay-per-views. You have the same look for main events, superstars. If your product doesn't look different, there's no point of me watching it, especially when you don't have, great storylines going. My God, man. Monday Night Raw, the last segment there, they're putting together the teams. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, out comes Eric Rowan to be on Cena's scene, which came out of nowhere. Cena had to put his hands up to hype the crowd to even get behind the guy. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, okay, who's going to be the fifth member for Team Cena? And okay, here comes Cesaro. And I'm like, okay, finally, they're going to do something with Cesaro now. Cesaro's going to do it. Then, oh, wow, they got us. But here's the problem. You didn't get me, because when Cesaro came out there, he barely got any reaction whatsoever at all. Nobody cared. That guy right there is for some reason, damaged goods. Just like Dolph Ziggler's damaged goods. I mean, you really think that they're going to push Dolph Ziggler right now over Seth Rollins? It ain't going to happen.
No, and Les Thatcher, the wrestling legend, has made this point a number of times from hearing him in various interviews. Very bright guy. I mean, the guy, the legend in the business, used to run the developmental organization, HWA, for WWE and WCW. He said himself, you can't flick this switch on and on. You can't just flick the switch and say, okay, we're going to make Dolph relevant today. And tomorrow we're gonna turn them off. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
What puzzles me is when they write the show. You were just saying they write for Vince McMahon, and we've had this debate with Vince Russo. Who gets more credit for the Attitude Era? Is it Vince Russo or Vince McMahon because he filtered it? But I mean, when you see the script when it's written for Raw that night, who in their right mind would sit down and say, "Hey, this is gonna be a great show tonight. This is going to be fantastic stuff. People are going to be popping for this. People are going to be into this." I mean, we do have 3 hours of television tonight. Let's make this exciting. I just don't know who sits around and says, "Hey, here's a script. Here's what you're going to do. This is going to be a great show tonight." How do you sell that to the talent?
That's a good question. I think people are just stuck. It's a few things. I think people are so insulated there. They're kind of stuck in the bubble. And I think they just don't want to rock the boat. I mean, look at last year. I think now 13 months ago, actually. Remember the Big Show interfering during the Bryan and Orton match at Battleground? And this is when they were still on traditional pay-per-view before the network. And who in the right mind thought that was a good idea? Who thought that was a good idea? Yeah, recently, the Roman Reigns interview via satellite. Not the one that's more recent. The one The original one that was supposed to take place live at the Barclays Center and then was made into
a flop interview.
Where it was just a minute long, badly scripted. Thank God it was only a minute, and it's pretty much long forgotten about by most fans. But my God, how did they let that make the air? I mean, this guy's supposed to be a badass, the big dog, the juggernaut, and he's smiling and saying, oh, I hope I strip on that vest, and I'd love to be competing in front of all the fans. Like, no. Roman Reigns is not a smiling babyface. Okay? This guy is supposed to be a badass. With that being said, he's got to show some emotion as well. And for any Walking Dead fans that are listening right now, okay, I realize that there's a storyline where Maggie, for whatever reason, hasn't shown concern for Beth. All right, but at the very least, it seems like they're going to address it this season. Roman Reigns, right? It took Roman Reigns, what, a couple of months to get pissed off that Dean Ambrose was getting screwed over time?
Right.
If Roman Reigns comes back and wins the title from Brock or whoever at WrestleMania, if they continue to have him be Super Reigns to the point where he shows no emotion whatsoever, I don't think that's going to help him. I don't think that's going to do any favors for him or really any other babyface. And that's another problem. It's not just the fact that the show is stale and the show has some really crappy matches. I mean, it actually has some good matches, but a lot of crappy matches and crappy characters. It's the fact that you can't relate to a lot of these guys. You really can't. I can't. As much as I love Bray, I think his stuff has gotten too over the top. With John Cena, it's really hard to relate to him these days, especially as the anti-authority guy. Really? Dude, your stuff's in Kmart. You're anti-authority? Come on.
Well said.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Corporate poster child.
Exactly. Exactly. It's just so hard to relate to some of these characters. And you know what? I'll put some of the blame also on Triple H, because at the end of the day, you know, and I'm a big fan of Triple H, but I think he's a guy that people look up to. For example, he's the standard bearer. He's the legend. He's been there forever. He's a guy that's the head of talent relations, and you know, people look to him as the example. And far before John Cena no-sold losses, whether he was told to or not, which is probably an edict of Vince McMahon, hey, don't sell this, whatever. You got chokeslam through a spotlight, show up the next night on Raw. Triple H has been guilty of this for years, where he'll lose a match. He'll blow off a loss. Oh, it's just no big deal. Oh, who cares? The difference is he does it in a way where he comes off like a prick. Cena does it in a way where he just comes off like a bad comedian. Either way is not good. If you're not selling the significance of the fact that you got screwed over or the fact that you were cost the opportunity to get your hands on Seth Rollins like John Cena was just a month ago, why should I care? Why should I care? And they added the stipulation on the SmackDown tapings, of all places. Okay, if Team Cena loses, they're all fired. What?
Right, we know the outcome already of that.
Okay, I'm down with that. I'm tired of the heel owner. Outside of that dude from Lucha Underground, who's a phenomenal actor, I totally am down for the heel authority figure being done away with for good. At least, even it's probably only be for like 2 weeks though in WWE. But those 2 weeks, I will cherish them for the rest of my life, because that means that a show without a heel authority figure.
Wow, that's an interesting concept there. Because it's just every week, man, the authority. And then you have, I mean, you talked a little bit there a while ago about, you know, last year in the Big Show, and it's like, dude, 2014 at Survivor Series again, the Big Show and Mark Henry. Why the hell are we pushing these two in 2014?
I'll say this, I do like Mark Henry very much, and I do think that they left money on the table with him last year after he drew the big buy rate with John Cena. But I think at this stage, he's older, he's slower. Something about Mark Henry without hair kind of takes something away from me. You know, like if he went and wrestled in Rick Ross gear, you know, I might be able to get into his matches more. But this is the regular Mark Henry size.
I think Rick Ross is a little bit smaller than Mark Henry these days.
That's true. He did lose a lot of weight.
Right.
They're the same guys. I think they're just old in TV years. They're just very old in TV years. Big Show, Henry. Those guys are just so old in TV years to the point where people just don't care about them. And Kane. Oh my God, Kane. Kane should win. I don't know if there's like a Gerwek Award for Main Event Ruiner of the Year. it's got to go to Kane.
Yeah.
The SmackDown spoilers, they had some tag team match player, as Teddy Long would say. And guess what the finish was? Kane running in for the DQ. My favorite finish of 2014.
Yeah, Kane running in with a DQ. And then you got, what did Ambrose call him? The Cruiserweight Division as security. Noble and Mercury out there, and they're doing stuff. And it's funny, man, because I'm looking at the Big Slow and last year's angle. Wasn't last year's storyline, Stephanie came out there and said that, you know, I don't know who the hell, how this even made TV, but if you guys remember, she was out there talking last year about how the Big Show was her favorite giant. And all that. And this year she changed it up to, you know, I was just watching your debut on the WWE Network. When you came in, you were built as Andre's son. Oh, okay. Now you got it right this year. Now you got it right this time. You were talking about his debut on Nitro in WCW. Okay, now, because you said you when you were a child, the Big Show was your favorite giant. What the hell are you talking about? It was 1999. That's stupid.
Hey, Fred, we know Frank and I have been debating the merits of the WWE Network, and we've gone through the glitches, and we had our six-month commitment, and Frank and I both dropped off, and I think Frank is back on with the trial. I'm back on with the trial right now for the month because you can get the Survivor Series free in November, so what a bargain.
Yeah, but, and I pay for it.
All these great stipulations, I can hardly wait till Sunday night, you know, which I'll probably be watching NFL football
Sunday night. I'm not watching it.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering real quickly, Fred, your overall opinion, because obviously Frank and I have given our two cents on the WWE Network in great detail here on the podcast. But overall, I know you've had glitches, too, with the different devices. What are your overall opinion right now of where the WWE Network stands?
I think it's a lame duck product right now. I think they waited. It's a lot like creative. It's been done so wrong for so long. I think the simplest solution to maybe not gain subscribers, but at least strengthen retention rates is to emphasize the content. If there's one thing WWE has not done a good job of, it's emphasizing the content. They've built their whole marketing campaign around $9.99. I don't care about $9.99. I don't know if you guys saw my Instagram the other day. I posted a photo of GTA 5. I bought GTA 5 for PlayStation 4. I spent $59.99 on Grand Theft Auto 5. Guess what? I don't care because I wanted Grand Theft Auto 5. It's about the game. It's about the content. I don't care if it's $10. I don't care if it's $20, $50, whatever. There were people willing to pay $54.99 for some craptastic pay-per-views over the years. So stop selling me on the price. Sell me on the content. There's a million things they could have done better with the network. First off, they could have had it available on all platforms from the very beginning. Although I think the PS4 app was delayed for a little while. And Xbox 360, I know for a fact because I had that problem. It was delayed for a while. They could have had it working. It should not be that hard to add a watch list and be able to resume where you're playing. The PS4 app for WWE Network works great with that, and apparently they just did an update where now it's up to date for everybody, which is good. But why couldn't they add that from the beginning? Is it really that hard for MLB Advanced Media to do that? I think the thing is everybody kind of bought into their own hype. Everybody bought into the hype of MLB Advanced Media. Oh, MLB's been doing this forever. MLB's been doing this forever. Oh, this is going to be great. But they haven't been in the wrestling business or even the combat sports business. They don't necessarily know wrestling fans. You have people within WWE that are in charge of the network that don't understand the business that they're in. I'll give you guys a quick example. This is a true story, I swear. This is a true story. I know a guy from Europe who is a marketing professional. Occasionally he flies to New York, New Jersey in my area for some conferences. But he's a guy that's won tons of marketing awards, the highest awards possible for his company. He's the real deal. If he wanted to move out of the UK, I think this dude could get a job almost anywhere in the US in some type of marketing client-facing role. He had 10, I repeat, 10 interviews with WWE. 10. He told me a majority of those people did not understand the product in a sense that they didn't even know certain guys that he referenced. I don't remember who he brought up. Maybe it was like Roman Reigns or somebody or the Shield or something. And he also told me that half of the people buried each other. Now, I'm not going to say that is reflective on all of WWE, but WWE, all things considered, is a small company compared to, say, like a Microsoft or an Apple or a Sony. So between that, between you watched the CES special that they did back in, I think, January with Michelle Wilson, which kind of stumbled on her words a little bit. You know, you guys have talked to plenty of people that have been on the inside. It's not to say that these people don't necessarily know business, but wrestling is a very unique business, and at the end of the day, you have to understand who you're catering to. You can tell me all you want you're catering to kids. You can tell me all you want you're catering to the 18 to 34-year-old demographic. But at the end of the day, your average, I think there's a report in Wrestling Observer came out, the average fan is like, what, around 40? Like, yep. The fan is actually getting older, not younger. So there's a difference between fiction and reality. And the fact that they also bought into this Fugazi survey that said they have, what, 160 million fans or something like that in the U.S., and a majority of them are lapsed, and they'll want this network, and we'll get 2 million subscribers, no problem, 2.5. That's preposterous. So tons of false expectations. A lot of people in power that really don't understand the wrestling fan, that don't even understand basic programming. You know, guys, what would you say is your favorite show besides wrestling?
Mine's, I have two of them right now. Sons of Anarchy, of course, and Gotham.
Okay, Steve, how about you?
I really don't watch a lot of television. The only thing I really watch on a weekly basis is probably The Big Bang Theory.
Okay, well, let's take The Big Bang Theory and let's take Sons of Anarchy. Let's just say I decide to upload every couple episodes of season one of those shows. And then I upload season three, and then I have the season finale. And then I have the series finale. Would you bother watching?
Probably not.
Yeah. Wrestling is episodic television. Why do I know this? Because Michael Cole tells us every week that we're watching the longest-running episodic weekly television show in history, which is also not true, and Don Owen might have something to say about that. But wrestling is episodic. And while I don't think every single person subscribing to the network is subscribing for archived content, at the end of the day, you want as much incentive as possible for people to remain on the network. You want to make them feel like they're getting a great deal, that they're getting so much content. Okay? But they emphasize the price. The pay-per-views are largely the same right now as Raw and SmackDown. Okay? So that ain't happening. Okay? You're not getting anything special with the pay-per-views, even though they claim you are. At least give us so much content. A ton of content that's episodic that we can actually binge watch like most people do. I go on UFC Fight Pass. I know UFC is oversaturated these days and it's cooled off, but I go on Fight Pass, right? I got all the Pride fights, all the WEC fights, all the Strikeforce fights, every single UFC fight, every single UFC pay-per-view dating back to, they're on a 3-month delay with the most recent one, but, you know, since like July. Okay? I get all kinds of specials. I get they even streamed the freaking press conferences for the Nevada State Athletic Commission hearing. I mean, seriously. They give you everything on there. WWE, even now, they can say, oh, well, we have 2,000 hours of footage on there. Oh, that's great. How come you only have the Nitros from 96 to 97? How come you only have one Raw from 2001 and barely any Raws and SmackDowns from the boom period? Yeah, you have the Monday Night War. Guess what? It's a bunch of recycled footage. How come you don't have the episodes accompanying the Monday Night War so I can watch along? I don't get it. I think it's just run by a company filled with people that don't understand the wrestling business, that don't understand the audience they're catering to, and the same goes for MLB Advanced Media. I don't think they really understand the wrestling fan. And I think also a lot of people are just kind of overthinking it and neglecting network. And content. Forget archive content for a second. What happened to that new Tough Enough that they could have filmed at the Performance Center?
Yep.
What happened to season two of Legends House, which is a show I hated, but apparently a lot of people liked?
I liked it.
Yeah. What happened to that?
They
just do away with it? Oh, a bunch of cuts? Okay, who cares? A bunch of cuts? The future of the network is on the line here. Or the future of the company, excuse me, is on the line with this thing.
Yeah, I don't get it either, man. You know, I looked at their excuse for Tough Enough, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, you own your own damn network. You own the cameras. You mean to tell me you couldn't go down there? I mean, they put a video online of could you survive a WWE tryout? And it was kind of that Tough Enough format with Bill DeMott and a couple of these guys they brought in there for the tryout. And you had Dusty Rhodes and all these guys with promo class. I think to myself, that's Tough Enough right there. So what's the issue? You own the network. You can easily film something, put it on the network, film it, upload it, just like YouTube. What is the deal here? And then you talk about content. Then you talk about, like, Nitros and all this stuff. Yeah, where are the Nitros in 97, 98, and 99? You can keep 2000, 2001, but where are these Nitros at? I mean, I'm watching Nitro on the network, and it's like, oh, this, you know, coming up this weekend on WWE Saturday Night. Well, where is Saturday Night at? You know, you have the pay-per-view. It's cool to see that you have the WCW Nitros from 95, 96 that accompany the pay-per-views that you have archived, but what happens after 96? You got nothing there. I'm like, I'm sick and tired of going on there and seeing it's the same thing, just like with the house shows. It's the same last house show. I remember it because it has a screenshot there of The Undertaker and Vader from The Garden, 1997. That was the last one that they did. Oh, I'm supposed to get excited because they uploaded a bunch of episodes of ECW Hardcore TV. Okay, well, you know what? I was more of a WCW fan. So where is your WCW week? Where is Eric Bischoff coming up there?
Sorry, the people didn't watch ECW Hardcore. Never mind the fact that stuff hasn't aged very well, ECW, minus the promos and such matches. Most people didn't watch that back in the day. It was on some channel in Philadelphia and a couple other stations. I mean, like you're saying, why not have WCW Saturday Night? You know, why not have even though Thunder was horrible, why not have WCW Thunder? There's nothing there. It's just it's funny. We're talking off the air about the video game a little bit, how at least the 360 version was kind of half-assed, and even the content with the next-gen version is half-assed. Even though I'm not saying that's necessarily the case, it comes off like the majority of their business right now is being half-assed.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? It seems that way.
No, yo, you're right there, because the video game was half-assed. I mean, a lot of people got screwed with the last-gen versions. They got screwed over, and they're not happy about it. Then you get the next-gen version that came out Tuesday, and it's missing a lot of stuff. I mean, like we were talking offline there, you know, you have Sting. I mean, you know, and to me, honestly, WWE, you know, made a bigger deal about Ultimate Warrior last year being in the game than they have Sting this year. And that's crazy. I mean, the publicity for Sting has been pretty much null and void, you know, and it's like you got two versions of Sting in the game, and that's cool, but it's like, okay, if you have Surfer Sting, right, in the game, well, where is a classic WCW arena? You can't even make arenas now. This is why it sucks, because you can't even make arenas on next-gen on the next-gen system. You can't even do it. They completely.
Although they may be releasing a patch for it, and and that's something, and we're not going to bore people too much about. I mean, I know there's a lot of gamers that listen to this too for Dead and Dewey, but I don't want to bore too many people about this if they're not into games. It's with video games too, like in video game companies, it's kind of to a small extent like the wrestling business right now, in a sense that they kind of take for granted their customer base. Because the video games, I don't remember this many problems with 360 and PS3 games. But now that developers can just release a patch, it seems like they're releasing unfinished games, or they're releasing games that are kind of, in some aspects, half-assed. And then they just say, oh yeah, let's just release a patch a little bit later. Or I give it to the WWE Network. Oh, yeah, we'll update it a little bit later. Don't worry. No, how about you just put out a product that's not broken from the beginning? You know what I mean? Even GTA. I mean, I was playing GTA last night. I couldn't access the online. You know, your first day? Yeah, I couldn't access online. And by the way, I'm sorry to change the subject real quick, but Dixie Carter, Steve, you'll get a kick out of this since I know you're Dixie Carter's number one fan. You got all of Serge Salinas' greatest hits on your shelf right there. Dixie Carter tweeted, "What is the future of Impact Wrestling? Today it is revealed. Find out here first." So I click on the link, right? And it takes me to a crappy page that says, "Sign up now to become a TNA A-lister for exclusive news and shop TNA deals."
Yeah, I clicked the same link, and I saw that, and I said, okay, goodbye. Thanks.
Like, just how about this, Dixie? How about you link your website that actually links to like the Impact episode for tonight, the Impact preview, so people know to watch Impact on Spike. No, let's link it to some stupid newsletter that nobody's going to sign up for.
Somebody will sign up for it. The diehards out there will sign up for it.
I was apparently signed up for it. I don't even know because I got some random email from TNA about a Knockouts Knockdown. So that I guess that should be exciting. A Knockouts Knockdown, whatever the hell that is. Yeah, some people will get it and some people will never get it. The good old TNA. If we're talking about freaking competition and somebody kicked WWE in the ass, it ain't gonna be from TNA. It's not even gonna be from as much as I like Lucha Underground. I've only seen a couple episodes. I do love the way it's shot. I love the fact that they're not trying to be WWE. They're just doing their own thing in the context of their own show, which I think most shows should be like. I don't know if they're really going to be competition for WWE because they're only getting, what, 40, 50,000 viewers, not counting, you know, the people that watch it by alternate means online. I'm hoping within the next year, man, it's going to get better for wrestling. I really do. I think independents are doing pretty well, like Pro Wrestling Syndicate, which I'm covering this weekend. I think New Japan Pro Wrestling taking a stab at the U.S. pay-per-view market is a good idea. But I don't know if there's going to be anybody that's going to force WWE to change overall. Not yet, anyway.
I tell you what, Frank, I thought Fred had the exclusive on what's going to happen with the TNA situation because I guess today's the day. At least that's what they've been teasing. Of course, a couple weeks ago they said 10 days we'd have an announcement. Nothing's come to fruition. So I don't know, Fred. What do you think is going to happen with TNA and do you think anything changes? I mean, I don't know if it was you or it was somebody online, and we've talked about this before on this podcast. If they do get a network deal, if they stay on television in 2015, they need to totally rebrand the product. They can't be TNA. They can't be Impact Wrestling. They have to change it all. Different sets, probably different commentators go in a totally different direction because the TNA brand, as Frank has said so many times, is a dead brand.
I actually do like the Impact Wrestling name, but the problem is that when they never completely changed over and they half-assed it doing TNA Impact Wrestling, I think that's what hurt them. I guess you could still do Impact Wrestling, but I would kill the TNA name itself, I would kill it. I would just kill it. There's an animated GIF of Vince Russo from 2003 taking like a hammer or something and hitting the TNA letters on the old school TNA set in the asylum. That's what I would do. I would just burn all the merchandise. Okay, maybe you don't want to go that far. But
what merchandise? You know, what merchandise?
Exactly. You just burn that bitch to the ground. Okay, just burn that bitch to the ground. Start over. The problem is I don't think they're capable of starting over. Not in the truest sense of really doing a reboot. I don't think they're capable of that. Now, look, if they hired, I don't know, somebody like me or somebody like my buddy Matt Kaplowitz, who actually just served as the associate producer for that excellent Spike TV special of Tito Ortiz versus Stefan Bonner. I don't know if you guys saw that face to face, but him and my old colleagues at Matador Content did a great job with that. Really, really hyping the Bellator show, and they did the same thing with Rampage versus King Mo. If they hired some separate production company, you know, particularly that's done very well in combat sports, to kind of produce their show and change the overall look and feel of the show, I think that would be a great first step in the right direction. But then you have to look at booking. The booking in general has not been that bad by TNA standards, if you really think about it. The sad thing is they've had some of their best shows of the year and their best shows in years on free TV during a time when TNA's essentially been a lame duck brand. I think if they keep doing what they're doing as far as what works, you know, Bobby Roode being or Bobby Lashley being a strong champion, a deep tag team division, you know, given a lot of time to good long matches, I think that's a step in the right direction. But they have to change the look and feel of the show first and foremost, change the name, and ultimately they need to invest in some new guys. I realize why James Storm and Abyss are tag team champions because they're under contract. But those guys we talked about, Kane and Big Show and all these guys, James Storm is really old in TV years, as is Abyss. And to a lesser extent, Bobby Roode. I think Bobby Roode is a great wrestler. I think Bobby Roode is a great world champion. I don't think he should be your long-term solution for world champion at this stage, as big of a fan as I am of him. You know, maybe a guy like Bram could do something, but it's also the presentation. For example, you can't just debut Bram like he did earlier this year, and all of a sudden he's just wrestling. Literally, that's what he did. He came into the locker room one day, confronted Magnus, said, let's have some fun, and 2 weeks later, he's wrestling. Just another guy. They got to do a much better job of introducing new characters. Same thing with the Wolves, too. While the Wolves have been great, even though they just lost the tag titles to a couple of bums, at least bums in storyline form. You know what I mean? Like when they first came, they were aligned with MVP. Then they weren't playing to their strengths. They were cutting these long promos. And believe me, I've interviewed the Wolves. They're nice guys, but they ain't promos. Okay, they ain't promo guys. They're just not. And then they lost a couple matches here and there. I think Davey Richards lost the match on free TV. Eddie Edwards lost the match on free TV. And this is all before they won the tag titles and had these great series of matches. They need young talent. They need to protect that young talent. They need to present them in a way where they come off as stars. From my understanding, John Gaborik was the one that actually gave Bram the name Bram, which is probably the single worst name in professional wrestling history. I like him, kind of like Bram. I just use Bram because he's a younger guy. He's a newer guy. Use him as an example. For a guy like Bram, you ain't going to get anywhere by having the name Bram. Right,
every time you say that, Fred, I just want to chuckle. And then, of course, Frank D's nickname is Raisin Bram.
Yeah, Raisin Bram, Bram Cracker. You know, I mean, you can even call him Bram Flair because he's married to Charlotte, which, by the way, he's winning at life. But something, I mean, I don't know, change his name to Tom, I think his real name is Tom Latimer. Change it to Tom something. You got to repackage some of these guys. As for the things that are still plaguing TNA, besides the fact that it's a dead brand, and as we mentioned, they need to just revamp completely, I think you need to get rid of a lot of the BS to tell you back before. No swerves, no childish booking. If WWE is doing a bunch of comedy that's not working, you ain't doing comedy. It's going to be a problem to move past that because Lagana's primary experience was through what? Was through WWE.
Right.
And I know he's got credits and other shows and whatnot, but at the end of the day, he's had a hand in writing a lot of that stuff, and quite frankly, not all that stuff has been very good the last couple of years. Just calling it like I see it. And you got John Gaborik, who the only thing he knows is WWE.
Well, but John Gaborik was never even creative. I mean, Gaborik,
exactly.
His best role, if people remember, was in the original Tough Enough.
Yeah, I mean, he's a dude that, you know, might know some production, and he learned under Kevin Dunn. I think he was a Kevin Dunn guy. But if you learn only one way to do something, and you've never been involved in a creative process, I don't know how well you're going to do it. And also, here's a knock on Gaborik as well. And I've actually heard from people that have been in meetings with Gaborik. All right, I've heard this guy throws his own weight around, you know, figuratively and literally, and is a guy that really just kind of, I don't know at this point if he does, because TNA's been so stripped down and neutered in terms of, you know, the TV deal and everything. But he's a guy that for a while was just kind of throwing his weight around and thinking his crap doesn't stink. And to me, you can't have guys like that in power. And if you are going to have guys like that in power that don't think their crap stinks, you know what? Have somebody that actually knows what they're doing.
Right.
You know, it's too late now to do this, but I would have thrown a lot of money at Conan, or at least a decent amount of money at Conan to book my show and try to do something with AAA a little bit. Have a real – I know they had a talent exchange a while ago, but, I mean, do something with Conan.
Or what about Ring of Honor?
You know, find somebody else. I mean, and there's not a lot of people these days. I mean, Jim Cornette's never going to work for him again. They killed off Dutch Mantel, who ended up going on to bigger and better things in WWE. And I'm not saying they're hopeless, but look, can they improve the show? Yes. And the show vastly has improved over the last year. I will give you that. Can they go to Destination America, which I'm sorry I didn't even bring up yet, which is a Discovery Channel network that's only in half the homes of Spike and be successful? That's another story. Because at the end of the day, even if they have a good show, if nobody's going to be watching, or if not a lot of people watch, and they're getting less money for TV rights fees, and they're going to be essentially a skeleton crew, I know it's bad for companies to fold in a business, particularly the wrestling business, but what's the point at this point? What is the point, guys? If the company is going to die a slow and miserable death anyway, and it was dying a slow, miserable death prior to this rumored deal, which is apparently going to be announced tonight, you know, what is the point? What's the point of running it? What is the point from a business perspective? if you're not going to grow, if you're going to get paid less money, if you look at it from the wrestler's perspective, okay, you get on TV, that's cool. You can put it on your reel, especially if you want to do some acting down the road. Say I'm Sam Shaw and I want to put my crappy skits in my IMDb reel and star in some Skidamax films. Like, I guess it's a good experience for a guy like him. But if you're a guy like Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards, assuming Davey Richards didn't burn all his bridges on the indie, and you want to go and make some money, you'd probably get paid more or about the same at a place like PWS or some other companies. Now, okay, they might have TV, but guess what? You'll probably have more freedom. If there's one thing TNA should also do, too, just as a side note, improve your talent relations. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
What they're doing
yes.
now, letting
yes.
guys take all these bookings, everything, don't charge companies a fee. Because at the end of the day, at this stage, and look, we could be singing a different tune next year, whether they're in business or not. All right. At this stage, your brand is completely irrelevant. All right. If you're going to hold back your talent and restrict them from taking certain bookings by adding like some type of booking fee that's obnoxious, you know, go to hell, really. Go to hell. And I think they should also give the option to their talents, if they're going to have to cut their pay, to let them out of their contract. I think that'd only be right. So, again, I'm just using an example. I'm not saying they're unhappy, but guys like the Wolves. Let's just say they're making, I don't know, $500 per shot, which is pretty sad. But let's just say they're making $500 per shot or whatever, or $1,000 per shot, which might be even too much for TNA. Okay, and then they say, okay, guys, we're going to cut your pay to, I don't know, $400 per shot. If you get a drastic pay cut like that, I think they should give you the right to leave. I think they should give you the right to leave. You know, if you guys want cheap talent, go get cheap talent. But I think for the guys that need to make a living, and that really need to make a living, not saying anybody doesn't, but, you know, especially the guys that have been around for a long time, let them go on the indies. Let them go on the indies. You get a bunch of new talent. See what you can do with it. Otherwise, I think TNA's show can improve, and it has improved for the most part. As far as presentation, even more logical booking, rebranding, doing enough to actually draw at live events and such, and be able to stay in business, that's a completely different story, guys.
And you talk
just to, be an alternative. Jeez.
Well, yeah, and then you talk about talent relations. Improve your media relations as well with people like us that say, hey, we want to do an interview with a TNA wrestler or whatever. Well, if that TNA wrestler can go on here and talk about, you know, your Bound for Glories or your Spike TV specials, well, there aren't going to be any more Spike TV specials, but use that as an example. You should let them do it.
I agree. I mean, look, to be fair, they were kind of douchey to me over the summer when I tried to cover their tapings in New York. I ended up going anyway because I have friends that got me comped, and I probably would have bought a ticket to at least one of those tapings. It was a good time. I don't have a problem necessarily buying a ticket, but the fact that they were so obnoxious definitely took me aback, especially because I've covered a pay-per-view for them before, and I covered a couple of their baseballs before. They were a little bit nicer to me when it came to Bethlehem. I just wasn't able to go due to scheduling conflicts. I'm actually kind of happy I didn't go to Bethlehem because, man, I heard there were only like 200 people there. And as you guys have seen, I mean, that arena was just darkness. I don't know if I would have wanted to drive an hour and a half just for that. But, yeah, I do agree with you there. They do need to improve in media relations. They do need to improve in branding. But this is a story that's been going on for the better part of 12 years with these guys, too. I mean, media-wise, they've been more media-friendly in the past. But as far as just promoting themselves as well, yeah, they got to get a lot better at that. Hey, who knows? Maybe they'll go to Destination America and die anyway within a year, maybe less than a year. If they can't keep afloat with the Spike TV money, even with all the budget cuts, I don't know if they'll be able to do the same and stay afloat with Destination America money, which I don't guarantee you, but I'll almost guarantee you is a lot less.
Totally agree with you. And Fred, I know you have to run. You know, in addition to seeing some of your reports, your reviews, your recaps on Gerwig.net, where can the readers out there check you out, the listeners?
You can check me out. Actually, the easiest place to follow me is on Twitter, at Fred Ricciani, FredRichani. I'm also on Instagram under the same handle. If you guys want to check out the Sports Courier, you can log on, either go on YouTube and type in the Sports Courier. You can find our channel there. It's under TSC News. Or you could log on to youtube.com/thesportscourier. You can – where else are we at? We're also on Twitter as well, at Sports Courier. We're on Twitch, twitch.tv/sportscourier. But most of our stuff is on YouTube. I do updates almost daily on NFL, NBA, a lot of pro wrestling, some MMA here and there. And as you guys know, a lot of video game content as well. Just did an in-depth review of WWE 2K15 on Next Gen. Also did a review of WWE 2K15 on Xbox 360, which was a completely broken game. I'll tell you guys this. If you're worried about 2K15 Next Gen being crappy compared to the old gen version, it's a big step up. Lack of content, but it is a big step up. So it's at least worth a look. Am I going to give you an honest recommendation by saying you should buy it over Far Cry, Dragon Age, and GTA? Hell nah. If you're a gamer and you just want a good game, pick GTA 5 over pretty much anything, or Far Cry, or Dragon Age. But if you're a wrestling fan, hey, I don't think you can necessarily go wrong with 2K15, especially as more updates come out. I know my main man Frank's going to definitely pick up a PS4 on Black Friday and get some games with that. So when you're on there, man, just add me on PSN and we'll chat. If anybody else wants to hit me up on PSN, I believe our name on there is TSC News, if you guys ever want to play online, GTA. And I'd say that's about it. Just stay tuned for any posts I have on Gerwijk.net. Steve's always awesome and sharing my content and giving me a platform to get my byline out there. And guys, I think you do a great job. I'm liking the new Gerwijk Report YouTube channel and Twitter page. Really a lot of fun and interesting interviews. Even though you gave Vince Russo airtime, I'm going to forgive you because it is a big interview. I thought you guys have been doing a great job. And all I got to say is keep up the excellent work. And hopefully we can do this again sometime soon and have a far more positive outlook of the professional wrestling business.
Well, I appreciate all the good words. Thank you very much. You keep up the good work, too. I subscribe to you on my personal YouTube page. So, yeah, keep up the good work, dude.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.